Blog Talk Radio.
What up? I'm hoping everybody can hear me clearly, loud and clear. Check 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. It's going to be a little somber mood today. Don't really feel like being upbeat and jovial because it's not how the topic is supposed to be happening today. But man, it's a lot of stuff been going on. In recent weeks, concerning me personally, mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. So a lot of people has been, you know, breaking promises that they can't keep, or, you know, being late. And my thing is like, I'm the type of person, I don't like to be late or be waiting on someone to do something, and they don't fall through. But however, people can be on social media, make comments, and this, that, and the third. So what I learned is that you fall in the line of importance, you know, and what's important to you may not be important to others. So I'm just going to leave it at that. All right. So there's, so there are four things to remember when it comes to procrastination. There's not important, there's somewhat important, and very important, and it's an emergency. So my situation, I guess, I fall in number one because it was not important. But anyway, so let's get down to the brass tacks. I'm your host, DJ K1, aka KD. This is the Takeover Show, and we start around 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the East Coast. So it's all good. So we're gonna be with you for about an hour, 120 minutes. And we're going to lock it down and get down to the brass tacks of the show. And first of all, so just to be aware, I want to start off with the – I lost my spot. I want to start off with the sports news. So you know that the NFL has opened up training camp officially. And some of the, you know, training camp goodies were, you know, that, you know, everything was surrounded by, you know, Trevor Lawrence, Tim Tebow. Of course, it was Dak Prescott's birthday, so he's out with a shoulder strain. Also, the Team USA finally woke up and got off their butts, and they were able to win their game against the Czech Republic. Kevin Durant became the all-time top scorer in U.S. men's history, overtaking Carmelo Anthony. And, you know, it's, you know, Olympic Carmelo, not the whatever Carmelo Anthony that shows up. And so that's the sports news. So what's going on in the local area? The local area up here in Cleveland. So I know we got some of the crew that's on here, you know, Greta G Money. And so what's going on in the local area? So right now the Cleveland Indians are playing the Chicago White Sox. And unfortunately I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, man. I'm just being real. And with this, you know, the Cavaliers, I think it was on Thursday, they selected center Evan Mobley. He's a new Cavaliers jersey number, will be number four. What else going on in the area? We got some, you know, celebrity birthdays. July 31st, Wesley Snipes' birthday is today. And Mark Cuban's birthday is today. So that's good, that's good, that's good. And let me touch on one more thing about the Olympics. Man, I swear, I was watching the women's volleyball. Don't ask me why. It was just very interesting because it's a good game. It keeps me focus and everything like that. So it was good. So the women, U.S. women volleyball lost to the ROC, which is Russia. So they can't use, due to, you know, some, you know, Olympic sanctions, due to some Olympic sanctions, they cannot use their name, or they can't use any, they can't be represented under their flag, so they have to use the ROC. Of course, there has been some, you know, I wouldn't say turmoil. I know track and field starts at around 8 o'clock, so I'm just going to be fine-tuned with that. Updated news. I don't know why I want to. I don't know why Dominique Dawes is on my brain, but Simone Biles, the most to me, since Michael Phelps, is the most decorated Olympian, and she's been going through a tough time. And I don't know how she's feeling, but I know what she's going through, because I've been in that position. No, I'm not a gymnast, but however, I've gone through the same things that she's gone through, and that's the subject of our conversation tonight. And I'm going to be open and transparent with, you know, everyone. So like we always are, we, you know, we have fun, we, you know, we laugh, joke, and, you know, make fun and so on and so forth. But this, at this point, I want to just bring awareness to behavioral health and mental health. Mental health is a part of behavioral health, although they do have some differences. They you know, they meet, so they and coincide with each other. So Simone Biles has, she felt that, and I'm just paraphrasing here, she feels that her body, her mind, and her body is not in sync. And what I mean is that, you know, when you're doing, a lot of, you know, flips and tumbles, I mean, not tumbles, flips and, you know, and back springs and, you know, hand springs and so on and so forth and dismounts, you got to understand the degree of difficulty that she does her routine. And with that being said, she said she pulled out of the all around, and she also pulled out of the vaults and the uneven bars as well. But it's a good thing that her teammate stepped up in her place and won the all around, which was good. So she was able to cheer her teammates from the team area. The other event, she's been in the stands. And I just want y'all to let y'all know, you know, I've seen a lot of people on my social media page, you know, and, you know, Olympians are humans also. You know, they're not machines, they're not robots. But the thing is just to bring awareness and you know, and just bring insight and stuff. We've, you know, the team and I, we have posted things about Simone Biles as far as mental health and the behavioral health realm. I really don't like using mental health. I always, because the thing is, it's behavioral wise, you know, and I'm going to explain that, you know, twofold. So back to Simone Biles. So she's gone through some things as far as being at the Olympics and stuff like that. And it's taking her toll. And to be honest with you, I believe, you know, she's going to go out on top as the most decorated Olympian since Michael Phelps. And also, you know, just not, you know, for the simple fact she's African-American, but she's an African-American woman. And then that's huge. That's very, very huge. And then you got to understand that where she's coming from. She's received some backlash. People have said some nasty things to her, which I don't understand. People who say those nasty things and be negative and and are not in tune, don't know what she's going through. I mean, you can say a lot about Simone Biles and what she's gone through, but to be negative and then, you know, say things to her on her social media platform or her page and so on and so forth, it's not right. It's downright evil and it's disgusting. So if you are talking, you know, giving her flack about taking care of herself, which is what we call self-care, which involves the physical, emotional, social, and spiritual, you have to understand that she is human. She is not here to, you know, to be your entertainment. She's, you know, her whole thing is to be a good teammate and, of course, win. But if winning is going to cause her to mess with her behavioral health, physically, emotionally, social, and spiritual, of course, y'all should be applauding her, you know, from taking a step away. It's not all about winning, and it's not all about medal counts and stuff like that. I can really give a rat's butt about who has the most medals in the Olympics. It's about the athlete. It's about the person. It's about the human being. Because if it's, what is it to that how many medals that we get as far as the United States? What we do? Bragging rights? You actually going to call the president of another country and talk about, hey, our country beat your country, na, 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 na. Come on now, man, let's get real. But anyway, so our topic of the show is how behavioral health plays a big role in your self-care and rejuvenation in our community. Now, when I'm talking about community, I'm not talking about Black. I'm not talking about white. I'm not talking about Asian. I'm talking about the whole melting pot of our community. Now, the topics or statistics are in reference to the Black community, but as a show overall, we're talking about a community of people as a whole, no matter what color, race, no matter what color you are. So let's get down to the brass tacks. And also I'm going to share, you know, what I've been going through for the past over 10 years or over 10 years now, and what I'm doing for myself as a person, as a human being, and how am I able to cope and take care of myself, my body, physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. So when we are addressing mental health behavioral health in our community, in the Black community. So think about this. Roughly 37 million people identify themselves as Black or African Americans in the United States. From trailblazing pioneers like George Washington Carver, Dorothy Hyde, to our modern day heroes like Anita Hill, Neil deGrasse Tyson, the Black community has made enormous contributions to our ongoing fight for social, racial, and economic justice. Despite these efforts to social justice among Black in our Black community remain incomplete until mental health disparities among these groups are addressed. Mental health is an essential part of our overall physical health and satisfaction. Please believe it. The Black community suffers from an increased rate of mental health concerns, including anxiety and depression. Now, the increased incidence of psychological difficulties in the Black community is related to the lack of access to appropriate and culturally responsive mental health care. There is a major gap when it comes to behavioral health and mental health care, and especially with our veterans as well. Prejudice and racism inherent in the daily environment of Black individuals and historical trauma enacted on the Black community by the medical field. Moreover, given that the Black community exists at the intersection of racism, classism, and health inequality, Their mental health needs are often exacerbated and mostly unfulfilled. Issues related to economic insecurity and associated with experiences such as violence and criminal injustice further serves to compound the mental health disparities in the Black population. So research suggests that the adult Black community is 20% more likely to experience serious mental health problems such as major depressive disorder, and that is what I have, or generalized anxiety disorder. I have anxiety, but I don't have generalized anxiety disorder. Additionally, Black emerging adults ages 18 to 25 also experience high rates of mental health problems and lower rates of mental health services, service utilization compared to white emerging adults and older Black adults. These sobering statistics suggest that despite efforts to reduce disparities among race and class in the United States, inequalities are increasing. However, further research is required to classify these findings and to understand the factors associated with lower utilization of mental health care among the Black community. So the thing is this, and this is what I've, doing further research and doing my research, and not only with me, doing my research, I've been in the system. And what I mean in the system is, as far as concerned, I've been to counselors. I've been to several counselors. I've been as far as the military is concerned, what we call the top floor or the fifth floor. And no, that's not where all the crazy people go. So just to get your head out of, they don't put us in straight jackets or anything like that. They don't put us in a padded room. So I want y'all to get that negative connotation out of your head. So what it is that they treat you like a normal person. They don't treat you as somebody who's wounded, somebody who's, has no function at all, not able to think, because we're able to think. We're able to feel emotion. We're able to think. But the thing is there are some triggers that comes up, whether it be a death of a loved one, a death of a partner that we've, seen die in battle or something like that, or it's just about emotional trauma. So it's just weird that, everybody, from what I hear and what I see on social media, and I'm falling back on social media a lot because I hear people like, that person is crazy. And then the thing is like when my circle of friends are talking, they don't realize that, when they talking, they don't realize the people that's around them as part of their audience. Now, I could address it and say, and lash out and say, man, why are you saying that? And because I want to know. I mean, because it's truthful told, I want to know why do you think that people who have behavioral health or mental behavioral health problems or issues, that you think they're crazy. Now, I am an asshole. I do have crazy tendencies, but I'm not like crazy. I'm not like, straightjacket crazy or anything like that. But the thing is like, I love everyone. I'm a self-thinker. I'm a self-motivator. I don't need, but at sometimes I do get in my moods where, whether I'm thinking of my, my mom, I'm thinking about my dad. Yes, I did lose both parents. I know I'm not the only one who's lost both parents, but the thing is when you're the only child, in that situation and I'm pretty sure I'm not the only child that lost both of their parents. But the thing is, it's like when you're so closely connected with your mom and you as far as the physical realm, connected to your dad because he was my strength. My mom was my heart and my soul. When you physically are, when you connected to those to those individuals, like I have been, when that's just like a little bit of a part of you that that left. Y'all just gotta excuse me because I'm about to start getting emotional, but I just want y'all to know that.
Well, we understand. Let me speak for me. As a person who's lost both of their parents years apart, I totally understand how you feel when you talk about that. So it's okay to be emotional, and people need to recognize that sometimes you're not going to be okay, right? Mm-hmm. And it's okay to not be okay. It's also okay to reach out for help when you have those emotional moments, right?
Oh, yeah, right. Definitely, definitely. Ladies and gentlemen, that's my BFF, my best friend. I don't want to curse. I don't want to say fucking friend, but I just did it anyway. So that's my best friend for life. So I've known Greta for almost over 10 plus years, and she has been like my lifeline. She has been my life raft. She has been my life preserver. You know, we check up on each other like every so often. We may not talk every day, but the thing is like she pays attention. She listens. She's a good ear. I'm telling you, like, if it wasn't for her and, you know, during my troubled times, I don't know where I would be. So, you know, I want to just, you know, give, I do want to do the Rasta horn, but I'm going to get, where's my, let me see my mouse for a minute. Let me do something right here. So, you know, she's a superstar, man, you know, and, that's what we do, man. She dropped bombs. You know, I know we haven't been on the air for what, about like 2 weeks now. And the reason for that is the reason for that is like I needed a mental break. I needed a mental break with so much stuff going on and everything, and I needed a mental break. But she is right, man. You know, people, you know, you do have to, you know, get into the fact that people do people can relate and people do understand. So what I want to do, bring up some more things about this is, despite progress in recent years, I'm going to mute her phone. Okay, so despite progress in recent years, there is still a significant stigma associated with mental health concerns in the Black community. There is often difficulty acknowledging psychological difficulties, but useful strategies including religious coping and methods such as pastoral guidance and prayer are the most preferred coping mechanisms. Destigmatizing mental health can be achieved by helping people, especially in the Black community, to understand that mental health is an essential part of well-being, just like a healthy diet, sleep, and exercise. These ideas are often led people to believe that a mental health condition is a personal weakness. All right, let me tell y'all something. This idea often, I'm just going to read this again, often lead people to believe that mental health condition is a personal weakness due to negative stereotypes of instability and attitude of rejection. Because of the lack of information about mental issues in the Black community, it is not always clear when one may need it or where to find help. You always use your resources. You know, I'm a wealth of information. Like, man, I'm like Google, but I got arms and legs. So I'm a wealth of information. So guess if you wanna call in, you can call into the Takeover Show and speak to us. And if you have a story, man, you know, come on and share your story. You don't have to give your name, you know, call into the show, 563-999-3045. That's 563-999-3045. Call into the Takeover Show and talk to us, man, and share your story. Again, you don't have to, you know, give your name. I prefer you not to give your name. I prefer you to, you know, give a alias or something like that. So to keep it, you know, confidential, because although that, you know, people may not know who you are, but you never know who's listening, because we do broadcast all over the world. The majority of our broadcast is in the United States, 72%. So let me go on. There's also a need for improved cultural awareness and corresponding responsiveness in the healthcare and mental health workforce. Research has found that the lack of cultural responsiveness from the therapist, cultural mistrust, and potential negative views from the therapist associated with stigma impact the provisions of mental health services in the Black community. Luckily, with the rise of social media and improved awareness related to mental health, development of and funding for culturally responsive mental health treatment are increasing. Now, that is true. That is fact. So, you know, like, you got to understand, actors, celebrities, they are human. Athletes, they are human. When we post things about athletes, we just bring in awareness to the whole spectrum. It's not just because of that athlete, because please believe it, I know my people will, they may not post my photo, but they will speak on things that I've gone through, and that's totally okay. So here are three tips that you can do to seek out culturally responsive providers. So tip number one, ask the provider questions about their treatment approach and if they provide care, including one's culture. That's very important, because you gotta, you know, just like with any therapist or with any therapist or social worker, you gotta ask those questions like, you know, like an interview. I mean, as if you were going for a job, you want to ask them those questions. Seek attention from someone who is aware of and informing and affirming of your intersecting identity, social categorizations such as race, class, and gender that are overlapping with the overlapping systems of discrimination and disadvantage, and your cultural background. Number three, be mindful that some providers do not use methods that involve a cultural treatment framework. So ensure your provider is culturally responsive and respectful of your needs and how to infuse these beliefs into your treatment. So culturally, it's kind of different with the military versus the civilian sector, although that some of the therapists on the military side are therapists on civilian side as well. So you just gotta be mindful whether you want to talk to somebody that you can relate to as far as gender is concerned. You know, a man may be, and this is not all just facts, this is just me, because they've given me a laundry list of, you know, men, choices, not, you know, just two choices, is man or woman. They said, do you prefer a man? Do you speak to a man? Or do you prefer to speak to a woman? You know, it just really depends.
But can I interject something right quick about that? So the reason that they tell women to have women therapists and men to have male therapists is so that there's no sexual, because you're bearing your soul, right? And so if I'm sitting in front of a therapist who happens to be a man and he knows everything about me, there's the opportunity for something inappropriate to happen between myself and that therapist. And I'm sure, I mean, it's less likely to happen if you deal with someone of the same sex. Right?
Right. So, that's true. But, you know, sometimes, if they're not keeping it professional, then I'm not sure what they're doing. To me, I prefer to talk to a woman, because I have I've had male therapists, and they just, you know, they just look at you like weird. You know what I'm saying? With a woman, you know, it's more of nurturing. Now, I'm not saying that I'm going to jump in her lap and then she got to coddle me or anything like that. That's not going to happen. But the thing is, like, it's more of nurturing, and it's like, you know, it's like an open ear. Now, with a man, that with many male therapists I've had throughout my military career, it's just like, okay, God, you know, it's just like one of those, like, suck it up, drive on, that we always say, suck it up, drive on. So so it's just the suck it up, drive on mentality that they have. But, however, so the thing is that we're just bringing awareness, you know, and that's what it's about. Now, we're talking about, you know, we can talk about self-care. Now, self-care is very important. I'm just going to give you a little bit of rundown. We already talked about sports. We all talked about world news. So let's talk about.
But can we go back to talking about Simone Biles and Naomi Osaka? Because you mentioned Simone Biles, but we didn't mention Naomi Osaka. So, like, both of them stated, oh, I'm having these mental health issues and whatever the issues are. I think part of the problem that people are having with that is the timing, right? So, like,
right.
You're here. You're at Wimbledon. You knew that you were going to have to perform at Wimbledon. I'm not going to say, because we've all dealt with behavioral problems or issues at some point in our lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it something that crept up on them and then all of a sudden it happened while they were at these events? Or is this something that was happening over time and they just were like, oh, well, I'll just address it now as opposed to addressing it prior to, right? Because in some people's minds, like with Simone Biles, in some people's minds, this didn't just happen. So you kept somebody else from making the team. Right?
Right.
Because that's how some people see it. You kept somebody else from making the team. And to take it a step further, and I don't want to necessarily make this male versus female, Michael Phelps talks about his issues, but we didn't hear about them until after his body of work was complete. Right?
Right.
So what does this look like in a bigger picture? I don't want to say that women are weak and unable to handle certain things, but Michael Jordan would have never done that, not during the Olympics.
Right, right.
And certainly not during when his dad died, he retired. He took two seasons off. But during the season, he played with food poisoning. Kobe Bryant busted up fingers, legs, Achilles, everything. A trial in Colorado. He still played.
Right.
He still played his game. Martina Navratilova, Chris Evert. I can name some of the greatest athletes that did not, and I am not going to say that they did not deal with anything, but they dealt with it after they did what they had to do. I think that's the issue that some people are having. I'm not sure.
I'd love to hear
what the callers have to say about it.
Right. Callers, y'all can call in 563-999-3045. Call into the Takeover Show, 563-999-3045. Call in. My take on, you know, even Naomi Osaka is that when you reach the pinnacle, but when you reach the top of your game, and when you know, and I've been in the athlete mode before, long time ago. But when you've reached the top, because
you're old, right? Because you're old.
No, it ain't got nothing to do with age, because I can still run the 2 mile around circles around these. But anyway, so as an athlete, when you reach the top of your game and you winning, and you're so accustomed to winning, and then so many people are, you know, whether it's, you know, the pressure around your circle, whether it's your own pressure to perform. And now her behavioral health issue could have happened before that. And it could be, you know, I'm speaking from an athlete point of view. So it can be something that happened beforehand, and then leading up to that point, whether it's Wimbledon or, you know, something triggered that, you know, and she said, well, you know, hey, you know what? Enough is enough. And I get what people are saying is that this could have been put in perspective beforehand or afterwards. Now, it's kind of tough to perform and then give it your all when you're not in sync with your mind. It's like a writer's block for athletes. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, now Simone Biles, you know, to me, I don't think she really needed to be there at the Olympics. Now she can be there. I mean, as far as, you know, participating in, you know, of course, you know, you want to defend your all around. I mean, her all around crown or her crown. But I really didn't think she really needed to be there, because what more did she need to prove? She could have stepped to the side. She could have been in, you know, she could have still showed up for her team as a team aspect and you know, and cheered them on. But what more did she need to prove? She didn't need to prove anything to nothing. She's a multi gold medalist, and that's it. You know, I would just have to say, like, for, you know, and I agree with you, you know, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Martina Navratilova.
I don't know about LeBron James, because LeBron James left a good point. Just gonna say that.
All right. Arthur Ashe, Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield, Riddick Bowe, Sugar Ray Leonard, you know, and we can name a host of a lot of people. We can even name, you know, artists. We can name, you know, people who have gone through a lot of things. But I get it. But it just, those athletes have a different mentality as far as winning. Those athletes will win at all costs, but they will put their body on the line. But most of those athletes are, and the difference is between a gymnast and a basketball player. Yes, a basketball player is jumping and, you know, flying through the air and dunking and, you know, doing all of this. But a gymnast who has to, you know, vault, spin, twirl, twist, and then one bad move, you can either seriously injure yourself or you can, like, your career be over just on one landing. Now, there could have been some early warning signs, you know, of what they've been going through. So, and I'm just going to run down a few. So these are some early warning signs. Not sure if someone, if you're not sure, if you know someone that you know that's living with behavioral health problems or experiencing one or more of the following feelings or behaviors, can be early warning signs of a problem: eating or sleeping too much or too little, pulling away from people and usual activities, having low or no energy, feeling numb or like nothing matters, having unexplained aches and pains, feeling helpless or hopeless, smoking, drinking, or using drugs more than usual, feeling unusually confused, forgetful, on edge, angry, upset, worried, or scared, yelling or fighting with family and friends, experience severe mood swings that cause problems in relationships, having persistent thoughts and memories you can't get out of your head, hearing voices or believing things that are not true, thinking of harming yourself or others, inability to perform daily tasks like taking care of your kids or getting to work or school. So those are some early warning signs. So I do want to go through some things. So like there are some, so as far as mental health and wellness, there are some positives. Positive mental health allows people to realize their full potential, cope with the stresses of life, work productively, make meaningful contributions to their communities. Ways to maintain positive mental health include getting professional help if you need it, connecting with others, positive. Now, staying positive can be listening to audios, personal development audios, listening to prayer, listening to just get into a daily routine. So I'm going to show you what my routine is every morning that when I wake up. So before I wake up and before I hit my feet hit the floor, I say thank you God for allowing me to see another day. Then my feet hit the floor and I'm praying. I'm going on my knees and pray. And then once I'm done with my prayer, I'm getting my clothes ready. Well, then I'm going to turn on my Bluetooth speaker and I'm listening to personal development audio. So I'm gonna name a few audios that I personally listen to. One is called Les Brown, Find Out Your Reasons. That is on my SoundCloud. Eric Thomas, Everybody Wants to Be a Lion. Everybody Wants to Be a Beast. Everybody Wants to Be a Lion, I guess. Also, I listen to Les Brown and Eric Thomas. Their motivation is called Impossible. And I also listen to Les Brown as far as having courage. Also listen to Tyrese Gibson, Obedient to the Vision. Also listen to Steve Harvey, the Jump series. And that's about it. I do listen to Jim Rohn and so on and so forth. So those are some of the, you know, and then once I listen to those, I'm really getting my mind ready for the day. I'm also getting my mind prepared for the whole week. And on the way into whether I'm going to an event, after I listen to, you know, personal development audios, I'm either listening something that will pump me up for the whole day. You know, so I'm listening to something like, and I'm going to tell you what I listen to. I'm on Apple Music. I'm either listening to Ice Cube. I'm listening to Rakim. I'm listening to Will Smith. I'm listening to J. Cole, North Carolina Stand Up. I'm listening to DMX. Most of the everything that I listen to, all of it is old school. I'm listening to old school. I'm also listening to my cousin's 200 album, Dub Dusa. What I'm listening to, I'm listening to Fat Joe, Alchemist, Book of Molly Music. It's a whole bunch of stuff that I listen to, and then it just get me through the day. You know, you got to focus on something that'll try to get you through the day.
In the morning. So before my feet touch the floor, when I wake on those days, I literally, the month of May, I want to say, I practiced meditation every day for 31 days. And originally, I couldn't meditate at all. I was like, you know, the dog that sees squirrel, right? I was like, squirrel! And then, you know, 30 seconds and it was over for me. But by the end of the month, I was able to do like a full 12 to 15 minutes. And what I have found, because I always wake up with the attitude of gratitude, and I, you know, thank you, you know, to my higher power that I choose to call God. And, you know, go from there. And then I meditate, and the meditation has allowed me to be laser focused on my goals or whatever it is. And I have found that I'm a lot more productive on the days that I meditate as opposed to the days that I don't. I think that everyone should meditate or pray if you choose to pray. Some people don't pray. You know, you just focus, but I find that it keeps me centered and grounded. And that is how I start my day. It also helps me not snap at people, right? Because, you know, some days are easier than others. And I finally don't the days that I have not, you know, been grateful from the beginning or even meditating. I'm a little more snippy. So, yeah.
You snippy in the morning?
Yes, me snippy.
Oh, okay. All right. I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, I didn't say anything. I didn't say nothing wrong with it. I'm just shocked that you be snippy in the morning. But you know, I've known you to be so full of life, happy and joyful. So. I mean, you know, we have a good time. So, oh my goodness. So to continue on, of course, yeah. Let's, man, we're gonna go to a break, and we got about another hour. I don't think I'm gonna stay on the show for a whole hour because I do have my son.
Okay.
I do have my son, Braxton. Thank you so much. He is here.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, man. He is keeping me on my toes. We've been playing dodgeball with little round plastic balls, man. He's been playing with the dog, Remix.
He's very quiet.
No, he's actually downstairs watching Transformers, so it's it's good.
Okay.
So I'm trying to figure out whether I should play Usher's Burn or some Isley Brothers.
Let's see. Burn.
Tick.
What about Don't Waste My Time? What about Just Don't Waste My Time?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Don't waste my time. Hold on. Let me see if I got that on the. I might have to sing that. Y'all want me to sing it? I'll sing Don't Waste My Time. Me.
No, please don't sing. No. I love
no.
you, but no.
Me,
no,
I,
no.
You don't want me? Can I sing
no,
Leave the
no,
Door
no,
Open?
No.
Okay,
no.
I got one for you. All right, man, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back right here on the Takeover Show, where our topic is how behavioral health plays a big role in your self-care and rejuvenation in our community. Callers, y'all can call me, listeners. Listeners, y'all can call in 563-999-3045, 563-999-3045, and we're going to be right back.
The gotta talk. Dang, I know, but it's just some things I gotta get off my chest. All right.
You know this thing ain't been no walk in the park for us. I swear it'll only take a minute. You'll understand when I finish. Yeah, and I don't wanna see you cry, but I don't wanna be the one to tell you a lie. So how do you let it go when you just don't know what's on the other side of the door when you walk in? Talk about and everything I tried to remember to say just went out my head. So I'ma do the best I can to get you to understand. Cause I know. Why am I taking so long to say this? But trust me, girl, I never meant to crush your world, and I never but I will see the day we grow apart. And I wanna know, how do you let it go when you just don't know what's on the other side of the door when you walking out?
Talk about.
Girl, I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. We just can't go on pretending that we get along. Girl, how you not gonna see it?
But I'll understand why. See, it's burning me to hold on to this. I know this is something I gotta do, but that don't mean I want to. What I'm trying to say is that I love you. I feel like this is coming to an end, and it's better for me to let it go now.
It's gonna burn for me to say this. It's coming from my heart. It's been a long time coming, but we didn't bend, fell apart. We really wanna work this out, but I don't think it's gonna change. I do, but you don't. Think it's best we go our separate ways. Tell me why I should stay in this relationship when I'm hurting, baby. I ain't happy, baby. But there's so many other things.
But you know.
Ain't the same by myself calling her your name. Ladies, tell me, do you understand? Now my fellas, do you feel my pain? It's the way I feel. I know I made a mistake. Now it's too late. I know she ain't coming back. What I gotta do now to get my shorty back? Man, I don't know what I'm gonna do with all my boo. You've been gone for too long. It's been 11 days. Umpteen hours. I'ma be burning till you return.
Let it burn,
gotta let it burn.
Deep
All right. We are back. That was, first it was Chris Brown, but I think Chris Brown had, you know, I think Chris Brown, something was going on with Chris Brown and he wasn't okay. So I switched it to Usher because Chris Brown had some issues and it wasn't, it was big. No, I'm the DJ. Say goodbye. I'm going to have to revamp that. I'm going to have to put a little backspin on that or something. But that was Usher's. First, it was Chris Brown, say goodbye, but he was kind of stuttering a little bit. So I had to throw it on to Usher real quick and play that Usher burn. But it's all good. We back right here on the Take Room, which take over right here. Now I can't even talk. I sound like Chris Brown. But anyway, we're back. This is the Takeover Show with your fellow hosts. I am DJ K1, a.k.a. KD, and with G-Money, a.k.a. Greta. We are talking about how behavioral health plays a big role in your self-care and rejuvenation in our community. So I really think there needs to be a national action to combat mental health. I'm sure that there is. It's out there, but it needs to be more. You know, there's never not enough. It needs to be more. So to combat this issue, it is imperative to identify and address areas in greatest need of expanded mental health resources through data collection, however y'all want to say it, and transparency. This should be from the state side. States should institute or leverage existing infrastructure to facilitate synergistic data collection, whatever you want to say, to accomplish this goal. Offices of behavioral health should be funded to collect, house, and report data in public-facing dashboards. Also, community-engaged solutions, efforts to improve mental health outcomes in the Black community must be rooted in the Black community. So in order for, and please, listeners, when I say Black community, I am talking about the Black community because the high, you know, the mental health awareness, I mean, mental health as far as statistically is higher in the African-American community, not Black community, but in our African-American community. But I am not saying that the other communities are less important. Let me say that from the beginning, and I'm going to say it now. The other communities are not less important. So as a whole, so we need to, a key to engaging in our in the community as far as mental health care is ensuring all people culturally sensitive care and diversifying the workforce. Now, one thing is develop some of the risk factors and warning signs of mental health problems. Information on depression, anxiety, trauma, psychosis, and addiction disorders, a five-step action plan to help someone developing a mental behavioral health problem. Like when I explained to you mental health and behavioral health are as one, problems or in a crisis, where to turn for help, professional, peer, self-help resources. Now, it can be easy to talk to a, it may be easier to talk to a professional because the thing is, it may be so much harder to talk to your peer. Now, it depends who your peer is. Now, your peer may be someone who is a caring friend like Greta, and she'll sit down, she'll drop everything and listen to you. And once you're done talking, she will analyze it. She will give you the A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z of everything, A to Z.
And then she, you know, it's either she'll leave you thinking, or she'll leave you in a better space than when you came in. And 9 times out of 10, she'll leave you in a better space than what you came in. Now, everybody is not the type, the listening type. Some people listen to understand. Some people just want, and some people listen to respond. Not everybody who's going through, let me tell y'all something. Not everybody who's going through behavioral health / mental health issues want a quick response all the time. It is 9 times out of 10, we do not want a quick response. We just want somebody to listen. If you listen and you respond in real quickly, we're gonna turn you off. I'm just gonna tell you flat out, we're gonna turn you off. It's like a light switch. We're gonna walk in the other room, we're gonna turn you off. And you're gonna be sitting there by yourself. Because the thing is, like, we don't need your advice right now. We want you to listen. And then because your advice is not, you got to choose your spots when it's appropriate to give your advice. And it's not always needed. Sometimes a person who's dealing with behavioral health or mental health issues want to have somebody to listen to them, plain and simple. Where to turn to as far as resources? You know, there's some self-help resources out there. There's plenty of self-help resources out there. First, there is a mental health first aid from the National Council for Mental Health Wellbeing. You can actually take a course and be, as far as being trained mental health first aid, being, you know, it's like first aid for mental health. There are courses that you can find. If you go to mentalhealthfirstaid.org, that's mentalhealthfirstaid.org, you can go there, go to that website. You can be an instructor, you can get trained, and you can find locations as far as courses in your area. You just enter your city, state, you know, and your radius from 25 miles to 300 miles. Some of the reasons to become a mental health first aider, be prepared. When a mental health crisis happens, know what to do. Some people don't know what to do when a mental health crisis comes about. Namely, people who don't know what to do are men and women in blue. They think just because a person is out here just ripping and raving and doing all this stuff, and they, you know, I get it. They want to make sure that they're, you know, the person is not harming other people. They want to make sure that the person is not going to do harm to themselves, and they want to make sure that they're also protecting themselves as far as the men in blue. But I've seen so many times on the news, on social media videos, and I've read news articles where our men in blue overreact when it comes to people with mental health or behavioral health issues. There's a right way and a wrong way to do it. I'm pretty sure that all states, you know, have implemented, you know, with their law enforcement on how to deal with mental health. Another thing is, another reason to become a mental health first aider is you can help. People with mental health or behavioral health issues, I mean illness, often suffer alone. That is true. People often suffer alone. Mental health illnesses are common, 1 in 5 adults in any given year. And it also lets you know that you care. Be there for a friend, family member, or colleague. Again, you can go to mentalhealthfirstaid.org, mentalhealthfirstaid.org, if you would like to get trained as far as a course dealing with mental health. And there is a Spanish version of that as well. Okay. All righty then. So So I'm going to define behavioral health versus mental health. I know we've been talking about this a lot. And behavioral health describes the connection between behaviors and the health and well-being of the body, mind, and spirit, as I mentioned before. This will include how behaviors like eating habits, drinking, and exercising impact physical or mental health. Other definitions of behavioral health illustrate how wide-reaching the term is. As a discipline, behavioral health refers to mental health, psychiatric, marriage and family counseling, and addiction treatment, and it includes services provided by social workers, counselors, psychiatrists, neurologists, and physicians. The National Business Group on Health says behavioral health also includes both mental health and substance use, encompassing a continuum of prevention or intervention, treatment, and recovery support services. So that is what behavioral health is. So behavioral health versus mental health. So when you distinguish it between behavioral health and mental health, it is important to remember that behavioral health is a blanket term that includes mental health. I've said that. Behavioral health looks at how behaviors impact someone's health, physical and mental. This results in a noticeable difference between behavioral health and mental health. For instance, a behavioral health professional might look at behaviors that may have contributed to a person's obesity. This is an issue that primarily affects someone's physical health. Some behavioral health topics and issues do not fall in the category of mental health. On the other hand, mental health is included in behavioral health. As a result, people who have mental health issues can benefit from behavioral health principles. Sometimes changes in behaviors by the individual, family, or even the community, and changes in thinking patterns can help people better cope with their mental condition. All right? So that is that. Y'all can call in. If y'all listening in, again, share your story. It's okay. This is a safe space. You don't have to give your name. Share your story. You know, 30 seconds or less. If you can share your story, 30 seconds or less, call in 563-999-3045. That's 563-999-3045. You can talk to us, man. We chilling. You're gonna talk to us and we're gonna get through this together. All right. So that's some of the things that, you know, I gave you some of the early warning signs about mental health. So when you see a person and you're looking at them, don't look at them strange. Don't look at them with a side eye. Ladies, don't clutch your pearls. You know what that means. By clutching your pearls, when you put your hand and like, oh God, this person is sitting next to me, oh Jesus, and stuff like that, don't clutch your pearls. All right, fellas, guys, don't, you know, and when you see a young lady who has mental health or behavioral health issues, don't look at them with a side eye. That's like, because the thing is,
you don't know if someone has behavioral health issues when you see them, because some people look okay on the outside, but I know people who suffer from anxiety. I don't have anxiety per se like some other people do. Like, I don't need medication for anything, and I'm grateful, but I know people who take medication for anxiety and depression and OCD, because people think, oh, I have OCD, and they think it's okay to just say they have OCD. No, that is a diagnosis in the DSM-6, and there's medication for that.
Right.
And people need to be cognizant of the things that they're saying that they have or whatever. Anxiety looks different for different people, right?
Exactly.
I know people who, I remember a time when a really good friend of mine was never sleeping. He was up all hours of the night. I'm not going to say no names, but he was up all hours of the night, couldn't sleep, and he had meds, but he didn't want to be medicated. So I think that we just, you know, and there are things that have triggered it. Like, for example, this pandemic, the quarantine, it changed the game. Like, now people are focused more on behavioral or mental health issues than they ever were before, because people have been locked up in the house. Abuse, domestic abuse has gone up. Child abuse numbers have gone up. Crime has gone up because people have been locked in the house.
Yes.
And so
yes.
Now people have to take a look within and say, well, shoot, there might be something wrong with me. I have someone really close to me who was diagnosed with depression during this time. And I'm glad that this person takes their meds now because I can see the difference. But prior to, we would have never known because they carried on every day like it was okay. So these things look different on different people. And some of us have different coping skills.
Right.
And so when you're, let's say you decide to become involved in a relationship and your person tells you, well, I've been to therapy. I applaud anyone who tells me they've been to therapy because that means you recognize that there was something you needed to work on and you decided to take steps needed to do so. There's a lot more people out here can use. I just think that we just need to be more compassionate towards others. And then, you know, when we are more compassionate, we can be more kind and understanding as opposed to walking around with a superior attitude when we're really not that better than anybody else.
Uh-oh, wait. Did you just drop a bomb again? Man, you on a roll. I know we ain't, you know, I ain't gave you a clue bomb in a long time. Hold on. All right, give it up for G-Money Greta for doing that with your DJ clue bomb. And I'm going to give you another clue bomb. That's for last week to keep the streak going. And I'm going to give you another clue bomb. So the airplane is not working right now. It ain't even get off the runway. Hold on for a minute. The clue bomb ain't working. Why my clue bomb not working? There you go. That's for the week before last, you know what I'm saying? You keep your streak alive. And she is on a roll. Yes. Just like the millennials say, yes, bitch, yes. But we got about 35 minutes in the show, 563-999-3045, 563-999-3045. So I just want, Greta has stated, man, you just, everyone wants to say they have something. Everyone wants to say they have something. They say, I have OCD. Well, were you diagnosed with OCD? Just because you like to clean up a lot don't mean you have OCD. Okay. I've been diagnosed with several things. I've been diagnosed with MDD. I've been diagnosed with major depression, a major depressive disorder. I've been diagnosed with OCD, and I've been diagnosed with PTSD. I have the papers on it. I've been through counseling. And again, what Greta has mentioned, I've told people, step one, when I was married, my ex-wife knew I was in counseling because number one, she visited me in the hospital. Two, of course, we were married. She knew what was going on. And my other previous relationships, I tell people that I've been through counseling. I tell people that what my symptoms are and what do I have. But the thing is, I also, and then that's just me being transparent, because the thing is, I'll leave it up to you whether you want to deal with me or not. Now, if you don't want to deal with me, that's fine, cool. You know, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. You know, we can still be friends, blah, 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 toodles. But as far as on a personal level or relationship level, nah. But the thing is like, I would expect that people will accept your being open and transparent. But sometimes like even in my circle, like in my school, in school, when I in my CDL class, in my Class B CDL class, and I've told, it took me a long time to tell people that what was going on. I didn't really give them any, you know, any further details, but, you know, I was just like, man, but, you know, I'm in the military. I've seen this and I've seen that. I've done this and I've done that and so on and so forth. But I didn't really disclose, you know, my behavioral health or mental health issues. But I think that's very important. If you are involved in any type of relationship, that you disclose that to a person, because you don't want the relationship to go get good, and all of a sudden now something happens and then they're like, man, why is he flipping out? I don't know about this person. Oh my God, what's going on? But right. So you know, and sometimes people don't know how to be open and transparent when it comes to mental health and their behavioral health and mental health issues. Some people don't know how to do it. I've learned, it took me years to learn how to address it and to how to share it with others. It took me years. It took me over 10 years on how to do it, because there's a right way and there's a wrong way. And I'm not going to share the right way and wrong way with you, because the thing is, the right way for me may not be the right way for you. Now, I can tell you what not to do, but I'm not going to do that, because you got to learn. I had to learn on my own as far as what is the right thing to say and what is the wrong thing to say. So I had to learn on my own. But I'm here to tell you that, to be transparent with everyone. I've been through counseling. I've
just agree, because you were not transparent with me. You just made me be your BFF, and that was just it. It was just like, okay, this is what we're doing, and that's the shit.
Look at here. I didn't hold a gun to your head and say, you are my BFF. That's it, and I'm putting my foot down. I didn't hold you hostage.
No, what had happened was I had to carry you on my back. And that's what happened.
See, but that's a good thing, because I didn't strap you down to a chair. I didn't put duct tape over your mouth. I didn't put this fluorescent light over you and ask you where were you at on October 17, 2010. I didn't ask you none of that. We became close after that. You using me as your book bag. So
if I had not put you on my back like a book bag, no telling what would have happened to you. Let us walk in the attitude of gratitude and keep it moving. Okay.
We can do that. So the attitude of gratitude. So what has helped me, and a lot of people have been there for me, and you know, not only the medication, but also the counseling, also my peers, military and civilian, also personal development audios, also manifesting, because the thing is, I didn't know how to manifest. I've heard of it, but I didn't know how to incorporate it in my daily life. And then when I went through a 30-day manifestation program, and it got me on track. So now I manifest on a daily basis, whether I write it in my book or I keep it in my phone. I manifest on a daily basis. So I even manifest when I put it in my stories, whether I'm posting a positive meme or whether I'm on my social media, my Facebook, and I'm posting a prayer. And so on and so forth, because I believe in the power of prayer. I believe in the power of manifestation. And I also believe that me sharing my story can help someone else share theirs. And what I went through, was very, 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 very tragic. The thing is like, and I'm gonna keep this short, the story short. It happened, it was in 2010. I forgot the date, I forgot the month, but I know it was hot as hell, and it was in, I was in Washington State. I know it was hot as hell at that time. I think it was like over 100, yeah, it was over 100 degrees. So the thing is like I was going through, you know, I was at my old unit, and they were about to deploy. And I'm like, oh, man, oh, my goodness, we about to deploy again. We about to go to Iraq. We about to do this. We about to do that. Lo and behold, I was like, you know what? As soon as I heard Iraq, everything, and it was like a, you know, it's like a commercial where everything goes flashing through. Lo and behold, so I went to my commander, and I went to my first sergeant. I told him, look, I can't do it. I broke down. I told him everything that I've been through from my previous deployment. I told him I can't do it. I can't go on this deployment. Lo and behold, they went on to their deployment. I stayed back. So this one guy who had, you know, was a senior authority figure, and he started talking to another soldier about me. And I'm like, all right, what? And then the soldier knew my character and knew who I am and knew how the person who I am as a person, as a NCO, which is a non-commissioned officer. So he told me. So I was like, for real? He was like, yeah. I was like, what? I was like, I told that soldier, go back to work. I said, I'm about to go deal with him. He was like, man, sorry, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. So I was like, man, I was this close, that close about putting some bodily harm to him. So what got me through that point is that God spoke to me. He was like, if you put some bodily harm to that person, what is it going to do for you and your career? So what I did was he, God really turned me around. He told me, he's like, do a about face, which means turn around. He said, walk into that office, tell your supervisor and get some help. My supervisor, I called him over the phone. I told him I need to go to the hospital. Lo and behold, I was on the fifth floor, or I was on the sixth floor of the hospital. I was in, you know, I was in a robe. I was in a nightgown. I wasn't in a padded room. I was in a bed. I was up there for about 2 weeks. Lo and behold, after those 2 weeks were over, I was just going through seeing counselors and counselors and counselors and counselors. Now, at that time, I was on, at that time, that this is where, at that time, I was going through my process. Y'all don't even need to know what that is, with my fraternity. And that's where I met Greta, and I met some others, and we became family. We became those family, those brothers, my brothers and sisters became my family. Greta became an extension, or we became closer, like brother and sister, but we became like one. So we like BFF, and we call each other BFF. We call each other all the time. Well, not all the time, but we do speak from time to time. We may not speak all the time, but the thing is we check up on each other. And what I learned, what I loved about that was is that it gave me a closeness with her, but also I knew because of her, it was like you could tell when someone is who they are just because their laugh, their smile, and it's just their energy. And then when I was able to meet her in person, Lord have mercy, I don't want to say this. I actually was taking our fellow sisters, I was taking Greta around and we've shared this story on the Takeover show before. It became a pedicure issue. And when I first met her, I was like, oh my gosh. I'm just like, this person is who she is over the phone, and she who she is in person. It matched. And we just became friends ever since, and we've been BFFs for a little over 10 years. I'm so grateful for her. Now, I do have triggers. Yes, I do. With that being said, she has been by my she has, you know, been my number one go-to, and when I need it, she's a good ear, and I've mentioned that already. Going back to the story, I do have triggers, but I don't let the triggers bother me, because I learned how to have thick skin, and I will get you out of your hookup before you get me out of mine. So I have thick skin. So it'll take you a long time to get me out of my hookup. So I've lost family members. I've lost one family member that's very close to me. Matter of fact, it was his anniversary of his passing, and the other day, rest in paradise, King, rest in paradise, DA, Jason Matisse. When I lost him, it was just one of those things, man. And, you know, I lost a family member. I lost a friend. I lost a cousin. I lost my mom in 2015. I lost my dad last year. And matter of fact, November of last year, I lost my father. So I lost both parents. So now it's like, where do I return to now? And now that I'm healthy mentally, I mean, I'm healthy physically and spiritually, because the thing is, COVID has allowed me to sit down and think about some things, reflect on some things as far as me being a man, a father, and a friend. So I had to do everything all rolled up in one. And what I came out of it was that my spiritual journey now is greater than anything that I've ever done in my entire life. This spiritual journey that I'm on, this manifestation, this positive outlook, is right up there with me retiring in the Army. Actually, I retired last year, 2020. It's one of the things, it's right up there. It's number two. I'm so grateful for, you know, that God is not wavered, and he doesn't waver at all. He's going to put things in your head, and he's going to have you figure it out. He's not going to leave you. He's going to have you figure those things out. And I had to figure those things out. And the thing that I figured it out was, is that I am more important to, and my why, I'm more important to my kids. My kids are important to me. They are my why. They are what hurts me. They are the ones that keep me going. What motivates me is that my mom and my dad are my motivators. Nobody else. And now that I'm here now, I am so glad. And I do want to add this. I did, you know, I tried to commit suicide several times. I've tried to cut myself. I tried to drive off a bridge. I've tried to shoot myself. But I've learned from every dark place that I've been through, I've came out on the other side. And you can come out on the other side as well. It takes work. It takes you to be open. It takes you to be transparent about yourself. I do cry. You know what I'm saying? I'm a man. I mean, I'm not going to say I don't cry. But I do be open and transparent, and I do disclose. If I'm dating someone, I do disclose those things, because I want them to know. Because the thing is, I don't want anyone to look at me strange. if I'm walking down the street or something like that, but I don't exhibit those behaviors out in the open or anything like that. But I just want people to know and understand that when a person, when your friend or your family member or a person that you may not know is exhibiting these type of behaviors, whether they're talking to themselves, whether they, you know, they're going through behavior issues and so on and so forth, don't look at them as being crazy. Don't look at them as being a mental health patient. Don't look at them different, no different that you do that your own, I mean, that don't look at them no different that you do that your, don't look at them no different than you do your own family members, your close family members, your close friends. Don't look at them no different because they're human. What they're going through, you may not understand. What I've gone through, you may not understand. You may not even care. But the thing is, you got to have an open mind, an open body, an open spirit in order to understand people who are going through mental health and behavioral health issues. We all got smartphones. Our smartphones are connected to our ear, our Velcro to our ear, our Velcro to our hip. But the thing is like, why not pick up the phone and say, look, you know, and just report it. I mean, you're not telling them nobody. You just report them like, hey, man, you know, I was on, whether you was on the bus or whatever the case may be, or whether you was walking, you was like, man, look, hey, I seen somebody who was, you know, exhibiting some signs of mental health, you know, and I just wanted to report it. Location, street, or whatever the case may be. You're doing more of a service to them than a disservice. All right. So I gave y'all the early warning signs, which, you know, some things that you know, there are some early warning signs, but sometimes people, and I'm gonna tell you this, and I'm gonna leave this at this. Some people with mental health and behavioral health issues, we are good at hiding things. We are good at hiding things. So I just want you to let you know that. We are good at hiding things. We are good at, you know, if you ask us what's wrong, we'll say no. Sometimes. If you ask, are you okay? We may say no. We say yes, we may say no. I mean, we may say yes, we're okay, but deep down inside, we're not okay. And sometimes you have to ask those underlying questions, and you have to get to the root of it all in order for us to come out and speak to you. All right. So I don't have nothing to say. I mean, we got 14 minutes and 40 seconds left in the show. I'm not sure if anyone wants to call in and share their story. You've heard everything from me. You've heard everything from Greta. We've explained the difference between mental and behavioral health. We just kept it open and honest. We kept it real. We kept it real with you. Right here on the Takeover Show, you're not going to get anything less of us, but being open and honest and being real. This is a safe space. Also, I do want to tell you, you can check us out on our social media platforms. We are on Instagram. You can check us out on Instagram. Go to The Takeover Show on Instagram. So The Takeover Show on Instagram, you can follow us. You can like our page, you know, reach out to us. You know, you can reach out to us on our email, thetakeovershow1@gmail.com. You can contact us on our email, thetakeovershow1@gmail.com. We're also on Instagram. We're also on Clubhouse. We do have Clubhouse. We are also on Clubhouse. So all my Clubhouse people, if you are on Clubhouse, follow our group, The Takeover Show, on Clubhouse. We got 86 members in our group. We got 11 followers in our group. So, you know, we doing big things. Also, we are on Facebook as well. I do have a private Facebook group. It's called Club Takeover. It's called The Club Takeover. Man, just get on Facebook, you know. Get with us on Facebook. It's called The Takeover Show, Club Takeover. And we post things. We post things about the show. We post things about uplifting and whether it be mentally, physically, and spiritually. We do. We stay positive over here, man. This is, you know, what we talk about. We talk about real life issues, whether it be relationships. We talk about sports, hip-hop news, word on the street. When we talk about relationships, we talk about mental health awareness. We talk about homelessness. We talk about everything that is important, not only if it's important to us, but it's also important to you. And this is a safe space, man. We don't bash. We don't drag people through the mud. You kind of do that to yourself. but we just highlight it a little bit. But anyway, man, so that's about it, man. Also, what I got going on, and of course, I'm the number one street DJ in the land. So I'm DJ K1. I may be DJing tonight, but I might have to put that on hold. No, I'm not going to put it on hold. Actually, I'm going to DJ right after the Takeover Show, and I'm just going to play a couple of tunes a little bit. Be on Facebook, be on Instagram Live, and we just going to get it in. Just not going to be playing nothing too raunchy. No, I'm joking. I'm going to cut it out. I'm going to turn it up. Man, G Money, Greta, you got anything?
I don't have anything. I'm down there with my sister here at the beach, and so that's why you hear a lot of noise and happiness and commotion. But no, I don't have anything. If we're parting, I just want to wish everybody love, peace, and success. I want everybody to get some therapy. And I'll say what I said on Instagram Live the other day. If you are sitting in the dark and you don't feel like you can come out, I just sit in the dark with you. And I will hold your hand. That's what I can do.
That's true, and that's facts from Greta, man. She means what she say, and she say what she means. Man, we done, man. We done. We got about 9 minutes left. We appreciate you. We love you. Walk in God's light. Walk in His truth. Walk in, you know, manifest clearly. Be there for your friends and your family. If you know someone who is going through behavioral health or mental health, there are plenty of resources out there. Get them some help. Get them some help. Ask those underlining questions. You know, don't quit on them. Never quit. That's the thing is, I always live by it. Never quit. You know, never quit on a person. Never be there for them. Love them. And just give them as much love as possible. Be there to support them. Be there with them, you know, through the good times and the bad times, because it shows that you care. All right. So we're going to end the day show with, I don't even know, man. Who can I play? I want to play some happy. Because I'm happy. Nah. All right, so we done right here. So this is the Osley Brothers, Friends and Family. right here on the Takeover Show featuring Snoop Dogg. Dog, we done. We're out. Let's have some fun. We're good. Peace out.
And the drinks, it's gonna be a party. Well, turn up the music real loud, invite everybody. Well, go right ahead and smoke and play some cards, just make yourself at home. Yeah, it's okay to take somebody's hand and get your groove on.
We're all up in here, having good people. I love to see my people come together, talking about friends.
Take a photo, so we oblige and step to the side.
Come on.
Now the whole fam doing the electric slide like that. 1, 2. Uncle Ron, what you want him to do?
Now you got it, let's do it again.
Cash in the club, I throw it all up. I just popped a
couple Zans and the waitress just fill my cup. I gotta get it all day. Shawty know I'm about my pay. You know what's up. These niggas running my face. Tell them that the time is up.
Popping rubber bands, I feel like Ross, every day I'm hustling. Palms on deck, my niggas brought the muscle in. My bitch bad, but I still got a fucker friend. You tryna cuff her, man, sound like a sucker, man. Always tryna hold her hand, call me, I break her in. Then I'm gone, two fingers, deuces. Life breezy, phones with some new shit. Get my crew thick, check out the new drip. Look at the new whip, him at the new kick. We blowin' blue sticks at Morton's or Rupert. She know me well, I guess I need a new bitch. Living life good, it's my only goal. But if all fail, I'm in the bando. Cooking up, you can catch me over the stove. Like the heat don't work, and it's way too cold.
R&B Urban Club music.
My mama, she afraid. She take it in the front or the back seat. Wake up out of sleep. Like she the QB. Savant, baby, go deep. She a winner. Mainly cause she fucking with the right thing. And I be playing sinner. Yeah, I keep her dress hiking. And she on top for us, we at the Cardella. She ain't watching the game unless she talking about a sitcom. Neighbors thinking I'm a ball player. Yeah. And if you ain't know, you would probably think the same. By the way, shit down. She hollin' touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. She said, boy, I love it when you touchdown, touchdown. I be all up in that end zone. Why she hollin' touchdown, touchdown?